While we were gone to Prague and to Africa, I listened to part of some teaching from John Piper on the Holy Spirit, which is available online for free. And this teaching has greatly influenced me. I have not taken any of his sermon or teaching and put it over for you, but it impacted me profoundly, and I just wanted to encourage us to listen to that. Piper on the Holy Spirit. He recorded it in 1983 and 1984, and it's just really good stuff. But God spoke to me, and I went to him, and I believe he gave me his word for us here. Now again, a note to our fellows back there, don't change the slides until it says on the notes, no matter what you think it sounds like, okay? Our button here is, this morning I tried to work it, and there's something not quite there, and then we saw the wire which was frayed, but Tim will take care of that. He's good at that. Okay, Acts 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth." Sounds good. Let's try it again. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth." We're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us to be witnesses. What does it mean to be witnesses? What does it mean to be witness? In Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. God chose us, He created us with a choice and invites us to choose Him to possess us. So God created us in His image. In Ephesians we have the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And it's often when the Holy Spirit works in us, not through one person individually, but through all of us and through a multiple of gifting. And it's as we work together that we display the image of God, but we've been created in the image of God. Let's imagine for a minute that God is a hand. What I have in my other hand has been created in the image of God. Would you agree? Yeah. It's a glove, a five-finger glove. And so this has been created in the image of God. That's fairly clear. And so this is what God is saying. I've created you in my image. God has created us for relationship. God has created us so that He will empower us and move in us and through us. And so He created us so that it would fit. He created us in His image so that God could fit into us. God has always pursued humans for relationship. The enemy has distorted and confused this pursuit, and for the most part, humans have believed the liar. For the most part, humans have believed the liar. So, humans, we say that the Old Testament law is God's rules, and it's how we have to live. Not true. Not true. But rather, the Old Testament is God's instruction for how we can live freely in Him. So, for example, a few months ago, or a couple of years ago, when we went to visit the Batwa up in the mountainous regions of Burundi, we discovered a people group that didn't wash themselves. They never washed themselves. The women didn't, the babies, nothing. They didn't wash themselves. They didn't wash their clothes. Now, this is something you think that's crazy. We just all know that. It's natural. Well, why did God, in the Old Testament, put rules about cleanliness? Wash yourself, clean yourself. Why did He put rules about if you have to go to the bathroom, go outside the camp, dig a hole, do your business, and cover it up with dirt? It's in the Bible. Why are those silly rules in the Bible? They're not rules in the Bible. They're there to bless us, to help us, so that we can learn how to live in a healthy way. They're not made as rigid rules, you better do this or else. But they're instructions from a loving God, loving Father, to us as children, of how we could live freely. So, there's a lie. So God the Creator calls His children, calls the children of Israel. He says, I will call you my special ones, and you, I want you to be a blessing. And He says to Abram, all the world will be blessed through you. The children of Israel got confused and became arrogant and full of themselves. Secondly, He calls us through the Son, Jesus Christ, who came to live and to die, and to rise again to be free. And people wanted to control and manipulate Him. Thirdly, God calls us by His Holy Spirit. And by His Holy Spirit, He calls us and He says, I want to infuse you and I want you to believe me. And fourthly, He will come again as Christ the Judge. God the Father has come and He says, I've created you in my image. I want to fill you. I want to fill you. But what happened is this. People took the rules of what He said, the rules, and said, oh, God is really, what He's meaning there in the Old Testament, what He wants us to do is we have all these rules that we have to do so that we will behave like God, so we better do this. So we fill up our body, we fill up ourselves with all these rules and things we have to do and don't do. We say, there we go. Now the body can function, right? It's got some rigidity to it. And the body's not functioning the way God planned it, intended it. It's rather hard. You say, it's too hard, Dave. It needs to be softer. Well, that's okay. I got the solution to that. I got softer. Here it is. I'll be softer. Yeah. See this? This is softer. So I fill it up with softer. I fill me up with softer. Now it's functioning. Now it's functioning as God planned because it's softer. No, that's still not working. So what's the problem? The problem is God has created us, informed us in His image, and He wants to live in us, and through us, and we can't figure out how can we behave and look and act like God wants us to. I don't get it. The rocks didn't do it. The soft stuff didn't do it. What's the secret? The secret to this looking like this and moving like this and manipulating like this and being flexible like this. What's the secret? Well, it needs to be more fluid, not solid like the rocks, not rigid like that. Oh, well, I got good news. I got fluid. I got fluid. Here we go. We will baptize in water. There we go. Now it's more fluid. Now it will move how God wants it to move. Now it'll be what God wants it to be. But it isn't, is it? You see, every glove represents a different person. Every glove represents a different gifting. What is the gifting that I have? What is the gifting that you have? What do I look like? Oh, this is me. This is the gift. This is what will work. But why is it not working? What's wrong with it? Maybe we should lecture it. Maybe we should give it some more rules to obey. Maybe this is you. Maybe you're the gardener glove and this is your gifting. Should I fill it up with rocks or water or soft things and see if it will work? What seems to be the problem, folks? Why can't we display God's image? We keep trying. We keep filling up with different things and we don't get it. We have a problem. So first God came and He called the children of Israel. And He says, I want the world to be blessed through the children of Israel. Then He came through the Son, Jesus Christ, to demonstrate His love. Then He came by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and He will come a fourth time. And the fourth time our choice will be removed. We had choice in the Old Testament. We had choice with Jesus, and we have choice with the Holy Spirit to accept as God. And when Jesus comes again the fourth time, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. When Jesus comes a second time. Fourth point, second coming. Thank you. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. We've all been invited into relationship with the Lord. Okay, so first of all, I'm going to go back to these first three points now. No, go back to the second one now. You did good. Very good, Rick. Holy Spirit of God filled. That's what we've been called to be. We've been created in His image to be filled with Him. And it's when we are filled with Him that this image suddenly... Whoops. We have a problem. From my earlier illustration, I still had a rock left in there. See, it doesn't work if I want part of me left inside of me. I have to empty myself out. And then when the Holy Spirit fills me, then it moves in love, in power, in grace, in mercy, and peace, because it's been created in God's image to bear His image. But the moving and the power and the doing comes only from the Lord. Without Him, it's nothing. Without Him, we are nothing. So, God called to the world through the Israelites, through Moses, and through the prophets. They were blessed, and through them the earth was to be blessed. Genesis 18, verse 18 says that. That God wanted the earth to be blessed through the children of Israel. They were warned not to worship other gods. Deuteronomy 4, 23. They were warned, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't try and fill yourself up with other stuff and think that you're going to reflect my image. Don't do that. Are those rules? He says, it's for our protection. It's not going to work. You've been created in my image. Nothing else will fill. Don't try this. It's not going to work. All were invited into the relationship with the Lord. It was not an exclusive invitation to one group of people. It was committed to one group of people to be extended to everybody. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. All the ends of the earth, the invitation is for all. Turn to me and be saved. For I am God and there is no other. Then God had admonitions. Don't worship anybody else. Don't make idols. Don't worship. Don't call other things God that are not God. And so many of the children of Israel embraced that and got it. They says, okay, there's only one God. And if you say there's another God, well, then we will take this. We'll take this and kill you. So the harshness was not God's desire to move that way. But that's the reaction and that's what happened. So here we had Moses and the children of Israel. We have the Old Testament. But the Torah was teaching the concept of God. There's only one God. There's no other God. And then all of a sudden, and the scriptures and the prophets taught about the Messiah. The Messiah is coming. He's going to come. He's going to establish His kingdom. And everybody was waiting for it to happen. And then it happened. Jesus came as the Messiah. And now the people had a problem. The Torah... In all the books says there's only one God, and Jesus comes along and virtually calls Himself God. Now what are they going to do? John 14 verse 6 says, Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 5, 18, for this reason therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill Him, because He not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God His own Father, making Himself equal with God. Jesus made Himself equal with God. Some people accepted God was only one God to be worshipped. Then along comes Jesus and says, I want relationship with you. God the Father wants relationship with you. What happened is God said, look, I've created you in the image of God. You're not getting it. You're not understanding it. So I will send somebody. I will come to earth. God will come to earth and will fill this vessel. Will fill a vessel that is made in the image of God and will fill it with the Spirit of God. And show you, this is what it looks like. So Jesus walked in this earth and showed us, this is what it looks like. Jesus did only the things the Father directed Him, by the Spirit and through the Spirit. So He moved in love, grace, and mercy by the Spirit of God. Many people have said, Jesus, you are not God. We don't accept that you, Jesus, filled with the Spirit of God, that you are God, and have rejected Him. So we have people that have rejected God's approach in the Old Testament. We have people that have rejected Jesus Christ. Acts 1, verse 4 says, now right on the heels of this, Jesus just comes and He says, gathering them together, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which He said, you heard from Me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Baptized with water. That sounds familiar. There it is. John baptized with water. If you're putting your weight in the water baptism, now we're told to be baptized, then it's a biblical thing. But if that's what you're doing, if you're putting your weight and your strength on water baptism, or anything physically that you do, you're missing the point. The Holy Spirit will come. So when they had come together, they were asking Him, saying, Lord, is it at this time You're restoring the kingdom to Israel? Nobody that lived when Jesus lived really understood what He was about. Except Mary, maybe Mary, who anointed His body for death. The disciples didn't get it. Mary didn't get it. The Pharisees, the Jews didn't get it. Nobody understood really what Jesus was about until after He died and rose again. Then it came clear to them. But they all rejected Him. They kept asking silly questions that reflected and displayed that they didn't quite understand. And so here we have, He says, John baptized with water. And so then we say, oh, John baptized with water. So then we have God in us also. That's what we need, yeah? How is that going to work for me? It's not working very well. Kind of icky. So in order for God to totally fill me, this has to be emptied first, because it's not wanting to work too good. In all our efforts, even in the end, as we have Christ in us, we say, yes, yes, I've been baptized. Yes, I accept Jesus. Yes, I love Him. But yet we keep ourselves in here. Last week, the Holy Spirit gave a word through Rob that said we should empty ourselves and invite the Holy Spirit to burn us clean. Our job is to empty ourselves. The Holy Spirit's job is to fill us. Then He said, so when they had come together, they were asking Him, saying, Lord, is it at this time You're restoring the kingdom to Jerusalem? He said to them, to Israel, pardon me, it is not for you to know the times or epochs when the Father has fixed His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. What He's saying, you created in the image of God, wait, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. And when the Holy Spirit comes in power, then you'll be able to function how you've been designed to function, by the Spirit, in the Spirit, through the Spirit. And it doesn't matter if you're a leather glove or if you're a hunting glove. This is a great glove for when you've shot a deer and you need to clean it out and your hand stays clean, or you're going fishing and you don't want to get poked by the pokey things. It's a great glove for that. But apart from the Holy Spirit, it just doesn't work so good. No matter what your gifting or calling is, it needs to be Spirit empowered. You'll receive power to be witnesses. Our life and action is to be a witness. What does it mean to be a witness? Well, I looked it up in the dictionary, and it says a witness is an attestation of a fact or event, a testimony. And so it might look like this. I say to you, I have been redeemed. I am saved. God's love is in me and flows through me. I testify to you today that God's mercy is in me and fills me. And you say to me, Dave, why don't I feel God's mercy? Why don't I feel God's grace? Well, maybe I got to work harder at it. Yeah, that's it. I got to figure out what do I have to do to get God's grace and and mercy working in me. Yeah, I'll get me these things here. Whoops. Here it is. I'm going to get more God's grace and mercy working in me. No, that's not it. No, nope, I've got to get these soft things here. Get God's grace and mercy. The water. As long as I stay away, as long as I fill myself up with anything, and I don't empty myself, the Holy Spirit won't fill me. He doesn't force himself. He invites me to invite him in, to fill him, to fill me. So an attestation of a fact or event, this glove is testifying it's filled. Would you agree? It's very obvious that it's filled with the Spirit. Testimony, one that gives evidence, one who has personal knowledge of something, something serving as evidence or proof, a sign or public affirmation. This is humanly impossible. It's impossible for this glove to behave as it's intended to behave. Although it's been created in the image of the hand, it's impossible for this glove to perform and function like a hand, no matter what I do to it, unless I fill it with a hand. And then it's impossible for it not to behave like a hand, because it's filled with a hand. We cannot do it, but each of us is to be spirit possessed. We have been created to be possessed by the Spirit of God. Just looking at this, you can tell it's been created to be possessed by something. We have been created to be possessed by the Spirit of God. And it's as the Spirit of God possesses us that we display the glory of God. Now, I have a special glove here that, if I put them on right, it'll work better. I kind of enjoy. So this is a winter glove, yes? And this is is it a glove or a mitt? This is a mitt, so it's all covered. But what I like about this glove is that if I was going to go hunting or ice fishing, I really like this glove. And it also displays something, is that sometimes as I'm filled with the Spirit of God and I move in the Spirit of God, sometimes all of a sudden it's like you actually see Jesus shining through. Now this, of course, is so that you can pull a trigger or something when you're hunting. Well, that's a good reason to have a glove like that too. But Jesus shining through. One of the gloves that I have here, I'm waiting for him to fill, is this one. Yes, this is my golfing glove, my brand new golfing glove for this year. So what would happen if it was Spirit-filled, Darian? It would shoot well. It would shoot straight. It might even do what you did one time. What happened, Darian?
The ball went in with one hit.
The ball went in with one hit. That was amazing. I was there for that. You see, but I've only got... The interesting thing about a golfing glove is I only have one golfing glove. And the Lord just said to me, see, this is kind of how I want you to be. I want so little of you that what is there is filled with me. And just, you're totally not even involved in the other part of it, where let God take it with the bare hand and work in my situation. Whatever the situation is in my life, to approach it from a Spirit-filled perspective. Isaiah 4 verse 29 says this, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." I pray that prayer every single morning, sometimes two or three times throughout the day, usually before I meet with anybody. My words have hurt so often. I don't want them to hurt. My words have been abrasive. I don't want them to be abrasive. My words have been ineffective. I don't want them to be ineffective. So I pray that every morning and throughout the day, let no unwholesome word proceed from my mouth, but only such a word is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give great grace to those who hear. No matter how often I repeat it, I still make mistakes. But you see, there's a verse that follows that verse, which says this: do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. God knows that I'm going to mess it up, but it's as He fills me that He knows that that verse will become true. And what follows that verse is this: let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. How can I be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving if I refuse to be kind? If I refuse to be tender-hearted and forgiving, I am moving and behaving in a way that is not the Spirit of God. So I'm choosing to become lifeless at best and abrasive and brutal in reality. And if we are wondering, why are we so lifeless? What's going on in my situation and my circumstance? And we can look at the situation and the circumstance forever, and it's not going to change until we go to the Spirit of God and we say, I accept you as God, and I invite you into my life to take control of my life. I empty myself out by the Spirit of God. How can we bear witness to the fact that we've been forgiven? How can this glove bear witness to the fact that it's been forgiven? By forgiving. I have been forgiven, so I forgive. So as we rode in the mountains in Burundi, and Everest says, we asked Everest, how many of your family have been killed in the genocides? And Everest says, 71. 71 of his family members killed in the genocide. How do you do it? He helps the people who killed his family. He says, Jesus has forgiven me. I want them to know Jesus has forgiven me. My battery's dying on my laptop. Sorry, guys. They're trying to figure out why they can't hear us. Jesus has forgiven me. If Jesus has forgiven me, then I must forgive. And if I'm going to respond with unforgiveness to people around me, then how do I bear witness to the fact that Christ has forgiven me? Because I don't accept the forgiveness from Him. How can we bear witness to the fact that we're loved? By being loving. I am loved, I declare. Jesus is love. Yes, so I must love. How about bearing, Jesus is kind. Oh, I say to people around me, Jesus is kind. He is gracious, compassionate, rich in love, slow to anger. That's my Jesus. And He's in me. How do you know this Jesus is this way? Because He invites me to demonstrate it to people. Slow to anger, rich in love, forgiving, kind, and gracious. My God is generous. Overwhelmingly generous. Do people say, I see that. I see by your generosity that God is generous. I see by your graciousness that God is gracious. I see by your gentleness that God is gentle. Holy Spirit in us, moving through us. The power to choose to forgive or to hold an offense can come only from God. To not hold an offense can come only from God. Last week, Kenny Blacksmith was here from the First Nations and James Ariak, and they said that the Canadian government, Stephen Harper, on behalf of the Canadian government, has apologized to them for the wrongs done to their people. They said it was great, but then Stephen Harper did something that they hadn't expected, and I believe it was a word of knowledge from the Lord. And Stephen Harper says, will you forgive us? They said, if we choose to forgive, we give up the right to be offended. If we choose to forgive, we give up the right to be offended. We must now move in love and forgiveness. It's a powerful picture. How do I know that they've been forgiven? Because they forgive. The Holy Spirit of God's residence is manifested by the demonstration of love. The Holy Spirit of God's residence is manifested by the demonstration of His love. But, you say, you don't know my situation. Mine is special. I've been hurt more than anybody else that I know. John 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. I've often heard that verse quoted in talking about healing and evangelism, and that's legitimate. But I do believe that it applies directly to this situation. And Jesus says, I can forgive. He hung on the cross and said, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And he says, everything that I have done, you will do and more. You can forgive because I have forgiven you. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What do I ask for in the Lord's name? I can tell you, about 25 years ago, I asked the Lord to save our marriage because it was shot. And I cried out to the Lord, and I asked the Lord to save our marriage. And the Lord has saved our marriage and continues to save it and make it better and better all the time. See, it's a Spirit-filled prayer. How did my wife and my children learn that I actually loved them, that God loved them? Because they saw the demonstration of it in my life towards them. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. I am asking in Jesus' name for my sons, my daughter-in-law, and my grandsons to worship Jesus Christ. I am asking for Him to heal marriages. I'm asking Him for men of integrity, men of purity. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, what are the commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. How do I demonstrate love to you guys? To my neighbors? Jesus is speaking. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. What's He talking about, another helper? Jesus is talking to the disciples, and He's telling them, you've been created in God's image. I will give you another helper. He will be with you forever. And that helper, in verse 17, that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He abides with you and will be with you. The Holy Spirit of God. Will we receive the Holy Spirit of God as God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We cannot live this life apart from the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. See that? You and me and I and you. What does it look like? You and me and I and you. You and me and I and you. That's what it looks like. Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. Moving in grace and in mercy. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he loves me will be loved by the Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Whatever our situation or circumstance in life, it doesn't matter what it is. We have been invited to live Spirit-filled lives. So whoever you are, whatever the application is of how it fits, Whatever makes it work. You might be the gardener glove. This describes you. This personifies you. Then God has created you to be Spirit-filled. To move in the Spirit. To garden in the Spirit. Whatever it is you've been created for. Maybe you're this glove. Now you're all thinking this is a dishwashing glove. And you might be half right. It's also a staining things glove. It could be a lot of different things glove. Maybe that's you. Whatever your gift, however God has made you, He's made you in the image of God for the Holy Spirit to fill you and to fit you.